Well, greetings in the Lord, congregation. And as always, we welcome those who join us as visitors. We're glad to have you with us, whether you're nearby or you've come from far away. Here we are together as members and visitors to worship the Lord, to sing praises to Him, to hear His word in its reading and in its preaching, and also on this occasion to eat and drink in remembrance of Christ as the Lord's Supper is administered among us. So, what a wonderful opportunity to begin the work, to begin the week in God's house and among His people, and to be blessed with this opportunity to praise God and fellowship together in the name of Christ. And of course, we come this morning because God Himself calls us to render worship. And that call to worship is here in Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to His holy name. So let's come to do just that, and let's begin the service with a silent prayer asking for God's blessing, shall we? Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Receive God's greeting. Grace, mercy, and truth be to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, we heard that call to worship, and once more God has welcomed us into His presence. So let's turn to number 282. We'll sing all three stanzas, Exalt the Lord, His praise proclaim, number 282.
Thank you.
That line at the end of the second verse, that he holds the tempest in his hand. Following on that confession we sang about God's sovereignty over creation. And we can draw a lesson from that, congregation, because even as God is sovereign over the storms and the tempests and the weather and all of the patterns in creation that we see, God also holds the storms of our lives in his hands as well. And we can come to him for grace, for guidance. We can come to him for peace and promise. And we can come to him when we face trials of any kind and know that for the sake of Christ, he will care for us and uphold us. So let's remember that at all times. But let's remember that especially this morning as we come to the Lord in prayer. And one update that we want to keep with us as we call upon God together. We know we've been praying for Deborah Dorr, Matt's mother. She had rebounded a little bit with her coronavirus battle, but I talked to Matt yesterday and got a text from him this morning, and Deborah is now struggling again. So he asked if we would be updated on that and keep her in our prayers this morning. So let's bow together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that you hold all things in your hands and that our lives are something that you care about and that you watch over. And so we pray, Father, you would help us to remember that even if at times the storms of life put up dark clouds that prevent us from seeing clearly, or maybe even sometimes thinking that we can see at all. We ask, Father, you would lift us above the horizon of this life and all of its adversity and affliction. And let us see that there is indeed a King whose name is Jesus Christ, seated at your right hand, who rules over all things by your appointment and design, and who is the head and Savior of his body, the church, of which you have made us to be members. So fill us, O God, with a reminder of that gospel promise, and let that be a great source of comfort and encouragement as we walk in this earthly life that has many setbacks and shortcomings. We pray this morning, Father, for the week ahead and ask that at work, at school, and at home, you would be with us in every way according to our needs, but mostly according to your loving kindness and tender mercy, and that as we are also out and about in the community, you would give us wisdom and a humble courage, as well as guidance and safety in all of our coming and going. And we pray as well, Father, for Deborah Dorr. We continue to lift her up before you. We thank you, Father, that she is in your hands and that you will indeed minister to her according to your will. And so we pray that you would grant her a recovery from her affliction, if you know that's what would serve her best. And in the meantime, we ask, Father, you would bless Deborah and her family with a reminder of your faithfulness, that even if there are trials that may be insurmountable, may they, along with us, remember that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So bless Deborah inwardly with renewal and strength, and give her, O God, outwardly, what she stands in need of, we pray at this time, that you might bless her to recover and be a testimony to your faithfulness in that regard. We pray for our community and for our country. We thank you for each, O Lord. We pray for your blessing upon our land narrowly and broadly. And we ask that if it be your will, you would bless there to be a reformation and revival. And so to that end, may your word go forth in spirit and in truth. May May the churches in our country be found faithful in your sight in their ministry and publication of that gospel message. And Father, may Christian people far and wide be salt and light, having an influence and making an impact, we pray, in all aspects of society, for the name of Jesus Christ, that if it be your will, you would bless that, Father, for light to spread, for a day to dawn, and for there to be the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ our Lord on display far and wide from sea to shining sea. We pray as well, O Lord, for our governing officials, for our elected leaders, for those who serve in military and law enforcement, as well as first responders, those who labor among the sick and needy at nursing homes and in hospitals, and even, Father, those who yet work retail and serve in the grocery stores and provide those kind of services that are still so important for our nation and for our world. And we ask, Father, you would bless and be with each of them in those endeavors, and that we might see, Father, that even if there is affliction that has come upon our land and upon this world, yet there are many things that need to continue, and we thank you for those who come and fill those roles of service. So be with each in all of their duties of law-keeping and leadership and service. Give your people, especially in these arenas, the wisdom and patience and understanding and courage that they need in this time. And grant safety, O God, if and when those who are in positions of lawful authority might be in the line of fire or danger, to care for them and provide for them and give them, O Lord, a kind of clear-headedness in the midst of what can often be a fast-paced and difficult situation to serve. So help us, Lord, in the meantime, as a people and as a nation, to be patient, to be prayerful, and to seek, Lord, your kindness and the blessing of relief that we ask for at the appointed time. We pray as well, O Lord, for the burdens and disappointments and trials and afflictions of each of our lives. We say again, along with Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, how long? Father, for those who are weary, for those who are lonely, for those who are anxious, for those who are fearful, for those who are uncertain, for those with family struggles, for those with challenges at work, even for our boys and girls and young people who face maybe difficulties at school, for those, O Lord, who are afflicted by what they hear on the news or read in the paper, having a heart filled with worry, and even for those, O Lord, who might be subjected to rumors or gossip or whatever might be the case. We lift each of these up before you. And Father, each of us fit somewhere in these categories, and remember thereby our need for your grace. And we pray you would help us not to lose hope nor to lose heart, but to look to the future and know that it is bright for us according to that gospel promise. And that even though we walk here below, our citizenship is in heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ is, and that we await for his return, whereby our lowly bodies will be transformed to be made like his glorious body. So may that be, O Lord, something that encourages us in the present as we look to the future, and may you give us the blessing that we need. We also pray for the offering and ask that it would be received with faithfulness and stewardship by our deacons, that it would be given with thankfulness and abundance by the congregation, and that we might see in each of these things, Lord, another testimony to the fact that we can rely upon you and that you provide for us each day. So all of this we ask, and we do so, not because we are worthy, but only in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's turn to number 27. It gives us the chance to sing from Psalm 18. Number 27, as thou, O Lord, hast made me strong. All five stanzas of number 27.
Thank you.
Well, let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. We'll read a passage there in Romans 8 because our preaching is just one verse at the end of Psalm 16. So a sister passage of sorts there at the end of Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. So it opens up in verse 31 of Romans 8 as we read in God's Word and says, in light of all of what we hear up to that point, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So what a wonderful passage, what a confession to be able to make, and what a sure hope according to that gospel promise that God provides for us in his word. And as I mentioned, just the one verse there at the end of Psalm 16, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So let's prepare to hear that word, and let's ask for God's blessing, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word, and even though it is, having your word is a concept so familiar to us, we pray that you would help us never to take it for granted, but always, O Lord, to stand in awe and wonder and amazement that you have revealed that word through your servants, the prophets and apostles, and you have preserved that word down through many, 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 many centuries that we might still have it with us today in your providence. And you bless us, O Lord, with the light and grace and ministry of your Holy Spirit that we might understand and believe these things that you have made known to us. So hear us, Father, in this prayer and do just that in this time, that your word might be a blessing for all who hear and that hearts and minds might be open to Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one thing about the administration of the Lord's Supper that we've seen lately, we've tried to do some more of this over the last little while, is that it's a regular opportunity for us to have kind of a devotional and meditative sermon when it comes to the preaching of God's word on an occasion like this. And it's that really is something amazing. It's a wonderful opportunity because the Lord's Supper itself is devotional and something that should prompt the meditation of the heart. Not just for those who partake by eating and drinking, but boys and girls, and those young people who haven't yet made public profession of faith, the Lord's Supper is still something you can benefit from as you hear, as you observe, and as by God's grace you are attentive in a time like this to everything and all of the activity going on around you. Because think of it this way, in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we're given a sign and a seal that engages our senses, right? And it does that by the design and appointment of Christ himself. And not just our ears and our eyes, for the boys and girls and some of the young people among us, for example, as they observe all of these things, But for those who receive the Lord's Supper, that the nose is engaged as we smell the bread and the wine, our hands touch these things, there's a tactile an impression that is made upon us. And then our mouths receive those earthly elements and our bodies metabolize them. And there's an intimacy in which those things that are representative of Christ to us, they become part of us. And by the grace and working of the Holy Spirit through those earthly elements, there's spiritual vitality that is imparted. So it's a wonderful, mysterious, and spiritual feast that we have opportunity to partake of this morning. And it comes to us in all of those different ways that we might then, through these things, have fellowship together, but preeminently fellowship together with Christ. And as far as Psalm 16 goes, we heard some of that last week when we looked at verses 7 through 10, if you remember. And as I mentioned then, verse 11 would be on the plan for this morning. And hopefully this will be something that's spiritually helpful and edifying. Because, I mean, Psalm 16 finishes off with a bang, doesn't it, boys and girls? It's a wonderful psalm, and the ending is sort of a crescendo or a high point that really does finish off wonderfully. I mean, look, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I mean, the wonderful promise of resurrection victory that we heard about last week in verses 7 through 10, but verses 9 and 10 in particular, is followed up in verse 11 by words that really can serve. Psalm 16, verse 11 really can serve as sort of the capstone of our confession of faith. And so as we come to consider that verse and some of these things in this, at the end of this most illustrious psalm, if you have one of the inserts, you can see the following theme and points that we'll keep with us. Very simply, the capstone of our confession here in verse 11 is grounded in God's goodness. And here, this goodness is seen in what God declares to us, and it's also seen here in verse 11 in what God provides for us. So as things open up at the very beginning, verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life." And the verb make known there, it's very emphatic. It could be translated as, "You cause the way of life to be declared to me." And when David writes like that, and the psalm opens up that way, it's here's the key to making that kind of an observation, that it's a very emphatic verb. It's not a passive sense in which David is mentioning what God has made known to him, right? But it's a situation where God has been intentional and God has been active, sovereign, and power in revealing these things and making them known to David. And in that very thing, God's goodness is on display, right? Because with the emphatic way in which David mentions that God has made these things known to him, he's highlighting God's tenderness and God's grace in looking upon him and revealing these things. And if we pick up on that particular connection of a well-informed revelation, let's say, we can see a parallel with the Lord's Supper, can't we? Because just think, the bread of the Lord's Supper that we'll all receive shortly, now shortly, when the sermon's over, it's not undefined, is it? No, it's not merely given to us as if there's no explanation or anything that accompanies it otherwise. But the bread is explained. We all know and we're told and we hear it's the body of Christ given for us. Same thing with the wine. It's not undefined and abstract, but it's made concrete and practical. The blood of Christ shed for you. So in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, by the very words of institution that something like our form unfolds and is revolved around, the God causes the meaning of what we eat and drink in remembrance of Christ to be made known to us, doesn't he? So here's the principle. Word and sacrament are tied together. There's an inseparable connection to what we receive when it comes to the explanation that accompanies it. So as the bread is distributed this morning and you receive it into your hand and into your mouth, receive the body of Christ given for you. And as you take the cup of wine and you eat and you drink and you taste, that's the blood of Christ shed for you. And as you receive those earthly elements, And with a believing heart, you are then to have no doubt at all that through those very things, Christ himself provides you with heavenly blessings through the gift of true faith, through the working of his Holy Spirit, and according to God's faithful promise of the gospel. So be strengthened this morning in your heart. Be assured that God's grace has in fact been given to you as you receive these things for that very reason. And then live. Live in Christ, live unto God in all things. And as you leave this morning and go into the week ahead, keep the taste of the gospel message on your lips. And then remember, just like the context here in Psalm 16 would have us to remember, that since Christ is alive, having offered himself on the cross in death for our sins, but having been raised by the power of God unto a new and endless life, that since Christ is alive, none of us who belong to him walk in this life as if we are alone. None of us go in this life as if we are somehow anemic or unempowered. And none of us go into the days that lie ahead without any hope. But we go full of everything that we need, because like it says in Psalm 16, let's say verse at the end of verse 8, because Christ is at my right hand, and we shall not be shaken. And to the verse as well, the message of what God has caused to be declared to David here is described simply in verse 11 as the path of life. And for David, that would have been the things that God had provided for him by way of counsel, like we talked about the last time, but it also would have been sort of direction for daily living unto salvation, full and free, as David then, if I can say it like this, comes to the end of his life and crosses that finish line and enters into the victory that God has for him. And those same two sides of the coin, they have a connection with the Lord's Supper as well, don't they? Because in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, what we have, boys and girls, is a visible portrayal of the gospel message. We see in those elements that Christ not only is the food and drink of our souls into everlasting life, but that he has offered himself for our salvation. And so in that way, the Lord's Supper is a means of spiritual grace, something God uses to minister to our hearts and to our lives. So the way of life, notice that's in the singular here. That's what God has made known to David. And when we take that phrase, the way of life, we can see that as a pointer to Jesus Christ as the only Savior. That's the way of life that God makes known to us. Like Jesus himself said, boys and girls, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And once we understand that gospel message with a believing heart, then the way of life isn't just a message. But the way of life is also something that God lays before us. In Christ, here, now, is the pathway that you are called to walk down. A pathway that God provides for us. Like Psalm 23 would say, those paths of righteousness in which he leads us for his name's sake. So in the end, those two things, faith and life, they go together, don't they? What we confess and the way we're called to live are two peas in the same pod. Like salt and pepper, they just fit and they belong together. What we believe and the practice God provides us to carry out are to complement each other. And they're collaborative in that way. So as the gospel message is seen this morning, believe the word that you hear as well. And then in light of that faith, in light of that word, in light of that truth, go into the week that lies ahead as you keep them with you and seek service unto the Lord in all things. At home, at school, at work, in the community. And remember that you don't go in your own strength, but you go in the strength that God promises to provide, because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you look at how Psalm 16 verse 11 goes on to say there, those last two stanzas, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's really two blessings that David finishes off with here. And that first one, in your presence is fullness of joy, is a blessing where David uses language that describes that he has been brought near to God. In your presence is fullness of joy. And to be in God's presence, congregation, as David outlines it here, to be in God's presence is to be accepted by God. To be in God's presence is to be in fellowship with God. To be in God's presence, listen, it's to stand in God's sight without any fear at all. I mean, imagine that. Sinners like you and me can stand in God's sight and not be afraid of anything. Why? Not because we're anything in and of ourselves. I mean, in the end, all of us by ourselves are naked and ashamed in God's sight. But in Christ, we are clothed with a perfect righteousness. We are vetted and accepted by God for the sake of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord's Supper is all about, right? David knew that blessing, even though he lived on that side of Calvary, even though he lived more than 1,000 years before the advent or coming of Jesus Christ. David knew that promise, and he lived in light of it. He enjoyed it, and he remembered it at all times. And perhaps if you read through the Psalms, it could be said that David remembered it especially when he faced trouble or trial, that then nothing, like Romans 8 said, would separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that same blessing, congregation, is provided for everybody who believes in Jesus Christ and belongs to him. It's not something that David or any character or figure from the Bible has an exclusive claim on, but it's something that God distributes freely and widely to all of his believing people. And from a New Testament perspective, that phrase, in your presence there is fullness of joy, is really what Ephesians chapter 2 talks about. It's those who are far off having been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. And because of that, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ unto salvation is justified in the sight of God, declared right because of Christ. Everyone who believes in Jesus is adopted into God's family and called one of his children. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is not only fully accepted, but they are welcome. And you are loved. Think about that. Welcome and loved before God in Christ in the presence of the Lord himself. And it's that gospel promise that really serves as a foundation for the blessing that's described here. Because, I mean, let's just say it. Let's just say it. Apart from Jesus Christ, congregation, apart from belonging to him, there is no joy in God's presence. There's only judgment. There's only condemnation. There's only terror. I mean, can you imagine standing in the sight of God with your own hands as the accomplishments that you bring? Because think about it like this. Just as the bread and wine show us that God's wrath has been appeased and that Christ has paid the penalty that we deserve by his death on the cross, just as that's the case, those same elements of bread and wine, they serve now as a sign and seal that God welcomes everyone who comes to him through Jesus Christ and holds out comfort, holds out encouragement, and holds out assurance at all times. Maybe especially when the burdens of sin and temptation threaten us and would seemingly overtake us. So as you draw near to the table of the Lord this morning, don't forget that by his grace, God has first drawn near to you. Let this blessing then of reconciliation that verse 11 mentions in this phrase, let it refresh you, let it motivate you. And let it lead you to live a life without fear in the week that lies ahead as you live in light of the confidence that is yours as a member of Christ by faith. And that second blessing that David says there right at the end, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The language that David uses there, what he's describing is this. He's describing exaltation and pleasure that comes by way of a victory that has been accomplished. Because what David describes there is a state, if I can say it like this, of consummate peace. A state of endless bliss. A state, nothing less than eternal life, is fulfilled in the end of Psalm 16, verse 11, which is where David sets the eyes of his heart even so many, so many, so many years ago. Because to speak about pleasures at God's right hand, is to speak about the anticipation of an exaltation that is coming. After all, boys and girls, God's right hand, it points to God's power, it points to God's sovereignty, it points to God's majesty and to God's might. God's right hand, and listen to this, God's right hand is a place where there's not only preeminence given to us, but God's right hand is a place where there's protection provided for us. And guess what? That preeminence and that protection at God's right hand, that comes to us clothed in the gospel promise, because that comes to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. John Calvin said it like this. He said, when God is reconciled to us, which is what David is talking about here, we have all things which are necessary to perfect happiness. So let me close out this way. Do you have any doubt that these things belong to you? Well, then see the bread and wine this morning as reminders. Take these earthly elements into your hands and know that they are in fact given and received. Eat and drink them in true faith, which is to say with a believing heart. Remember Christ and the promise of the gospel through them. And then believe in him as you partake and participate and fellowship unto everlasting life, which is a present possession and which will one day be finished and fully made known. Be renewed by this fellowship meal. Be assured by this covenant promise. And be fortified in your faith as you go in the week ahead to serve the Lord and depend upon him. Amen. Well, let's pray, shall we? Father, we ask in this prayer for application that you would make your word, which we have just heard, to be a blessing to us, and that you would use it, O Lord, to revive and to renew and to give us food for thought as we look for a rich and ready remembrance of these things, not only in the moment at hand, but in the week that lies ahead, as we look to you and ask for such in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's turn to number 104. We'll turn to number 104, taken from Psalm 56. All five stanzas, what time? I am afraid. Number 104.
Thank you.
Well, let's turn to the back of our Blue Psalter hymnals, page 156. That form for the Lord's Supper and its administration. And so for those visitors who met with the elders prior to the service, you are welcome to join us in this administration of the Lord's Supper as together we receive the bread and wine with a believing heart unto the salvation that Christ has for us and the encouragement in that gospel promise. And just one more note, when it comes time for the elements themselves to be distributed, the elders will come between the pews in the empty rows. They'll hold the tray of the bread or the tray of the wine out, and then those who partake will reach forth and grab the elements themselves rather than it being handed or passed back and forth. So here we are, page 156, that right-hand column. Beloved in the Lord, hear the words of the Apostle Paul concerning the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also the cup, after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink the cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself, if he discern not the body. Let us hear also a brief instruction concerning the purpose for which the sacrament was ordained. When our Lord said, This do in remembrance of me, he ordained this holy supper as a constant memorial and visible proclamation of his death. The Apostle Paul also teaches us that as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death. As we partake of this communion supper, therefore, we bear witness that our Lord Jesus was sent by the Father into the world, that he took upon himself our flesh and blood, and that he bore the wrath of God on the cross for us. We also confess that he came to earth to bring us to heaven, that he was condemned to die that we might be pardoned, that he endured the suffering and death of the cross that we might live through him, and that he was once forsaken by God that we might forever be accepted by him. The sacrament thus confirms us in God's abiding love and covenant faithfulness. By his holy supper, our Lord seals our hearts to the promises of God's gracious covenant and so assures us that we belong to his covenant family. Let us then be persuaded as we eat and drink that God will always love us and accept us as his children for the sake of his Son. Our Lord promises, moreover, that as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are fed with his crucified body and shed blood. To this end, he gives us his life-giving spirit, through whom the body and blood of our Lord become the life-giving nourishment of our souls. Thus, he unites us with himself, and so imparts the precious benefits of his sacrifice to all who partake in faith. The Holy Sacrament is also a means of grace that unites us with one another in the bond of the Spirit. For the Apostle says that we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Thus, even as he unites us with himself, he strengthens the bond of communion between us, his children. Finally, the remembrance of our Lord's death revives in us the hope of his return. Since he commanded us to do this until he comes, the Lord assures us that he will come again to take us to himself. Hence, as we commune with him now under the veil of these earthly elements, we are assured that we shall sometime behold him face to face and rejoice in the glory of his appearing. Our Lord Jesus will surely do what he has promised. Let us draw near to the table then, believing that he will strengthen us in faith, unite us in love, and establish us more firmly in the hope of his coming. Now, unto him that loveth us and loosed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, to be priests unto his God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, let us pray. Almighty God, With one accord, we give thee thanks for all the blessings of thy grace. But most of all, we thank thee for the unspeakable gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We most humbly thank thee that thy Son came to us in human form, that he lived a perfect life on earth, that he died for us on the cross, and that he arose victoriously from the dead. We bless thee for the gift of thy Holy Spirit, for the gospel of reconciliation, for the church universal, for the ministry and the sacraments of the church, and for the blessed hope of everlasting life. We beseech thee, gracious Father, to grant us thy Holy Spirit, that through this sacrament our souls may truly be fed with the crucified body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us the full assurance of thy grace as we draw near to thy holy table, filling our hearts with humble gratitude for thy mercies. Unite us more fully with our blessed Lord, and so also with one another. Enable us in newness of life to pledge ourselves in service to Christ and all thy children, and lift our hearts to thee, that in all the troubles and sorrows of this life, we may persevere in the living hope of the coming of our Savior in glory. Answer us, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we draw near to the table of our Lord, let us confess our Christian faith. Would you please stand? So we say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Beloved, hear these gracious words of promise spoken by our Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we lift up our hearts to the Lord, let us lift them up to the God of our salvation. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and broke it. And when he had given thanks, he said, This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for a complete remission of all our sins. And he took a cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for unto remission of sins." Take, drink, remember, and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed for a complete remission of all our sins. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they were and were created. Worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we render to thee our most humble and hearty thanks that thou, of thy great mercy, hast given us thy Son to be our Savior from sin and to be our constant source of faith, hope, and love. We bless thee for permitting us to show forth his death and to receive the communion of his body and blood through the Holy Sacrament. We praise thee for uniting us more fully with the body of Christ and for assuring us that we are heirs of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant, we beseech thee, that our commemoration of his death may tend to the daily increase of our faith, the establishment of our hope, and the strengthening of our love. Enable us henceforth to live always for him who gave himself for us, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's follow the administration of the Lord's Supper by turning, as we see in the bulletin, over to number 422. We'll sing all the stanzas, O Jesus, Joy of Loving Hearts, and we'll remain standing as the song concludes. So we'll remain standing as we close the service. Our doxology will be number 184. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 2. And just remember how we have the offering bags in place for those who have yet to contribute to the offering this morning. So number 184, stanzas 1 and 2. Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.